Okay, the method that we adopted was first of all looking at the promises given about Christ and also the pictures that reminds of us about Christ. Now when we come to the pictures, don't be dogmatic about it. We are not going that direction. We are only reminding ourselves this can really remind us about Christ. And some of them that we looked at last two times. We looked at the book of Genesis. We looked at Noah's Ark, Abraham, Melchizedek, and many appearances of the angel of the Lord, where we believe it is the Lord himself. We have to be careful with that. No, not every appearance of the angel is not the Lord Jesus, because there are some cases the angel appeared and somebody worshipped them, tried to worship them, and the angel said, "Don't worship me because I am just another servant of God like you." So there are, when you read through the angel of the Lord appearing to people in various places, not all of them are definitely not the Lord Jesus, but there are few of them we looked at together last time. The angel of the Lord appearing to God's people. Then we looked at the Isaac, very little more detailed we looked at. We won't repeat those. We look at the Isaac and the comparison about 13 different characteristics that can be compared in their life. And of course, the sacrifice that he was taken to, which was not completed, but that was also, we have a lot of comparison about our Savior. Now, today we are going to go to Jacob 1. Okay. We will look at Jacob, start with Jacob, and we'll continue and stop when our time comes. Now, there are several things about Jacob. There is a couple of them we'll highlight here. Jacob, he says, "You are my servant Israel, I will be glorified in you." When Isaiah writes about Jacob being the servant, no one glorified the Father as much as the Lord Jesus Christ himself. No other human being brought glory and honor to the Father like the Lord Jesus Christ. So when Jacob is mentioned as a servant, our Lord was a perfect servant who fulfilled everything, and he was always glorifying the Father. These are known things. There are several references before you here, but we won't read all that. In Luke 7, 16, 18 and 43, and John chapter 13, verse 31 and 17, 4, in all these places, the writer says the Lord Jesus Christ glorified the Father. So then, therefore, we can think of Jacob or Israel as a picture of Christ. When we talk about being a servant, God called Israel also and Christ out of Egypt. Jacob was called out from Egypt. The Lord Jesus Christ was also called out from Egypt because his parents took him there. So there is some similarities in those two areas also that we can see. Then we will move on. We are going to go a little faster here. Can you move one slide up? Okay. When we come to Benjamin, there are a few things we can look at. As we go very detailed about these people, there may be more you may be able to find. But here is one that was, he was first named Benoni by his mother, which means son of my sorrow. Jacob challenged that name and he said, no, I'm going to call him differently. He's going to be called Benjamin, meaning son of my right hand. The word Benjamin means son of my right hand. Any Benjamins here today? I know there are a few in our midst. They may not be here. But the real meaning of Benjamin is son of my right hand. In Genesis 35, verse 18, Jacob changed his name from Benoni to Benjamin. And you can see here the beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. His first he came to the world, and he was man of sorrows. And we sing a song, not her, there is a mistype there. He was a man of sorrows, as we know in Isaiah chapter 53. Throughout that chapter, we have a very detailed description of the sorrow of our Savior. And God gave him great glory, seated him at his own right hand. The Lord Jesus Christ, although he suffered, as we already remembered somewhat this morning in our worship, he was lifted up, he was seated on the right hand of God. So truly, the fulfillment of the Son of my right hand is the Lord Jesus Christ, which happened many years later. Although Isaiah called Benjamin, son of my right hand, the meaning. So in the fulfillment of that meaning of the name, Benjamin, was fulfilled in Christ, who is seated on the right hand of God. So the right hand is also a picture of power. Generally speaking, right hand or right shoulder or the shoulders are normally a picture of strength or might or power. We see that in Exodus 15:6-12. And it is also, a right hand is a picture of honor to the right hand. The Lord Jesus Christ is the true Benjamin in that sense. He is the son of the right hand. He has the power of his hand. He also has the honor that described here for about Benjamin. So when you look at these names and descriptions about them and their dealings, we can think of the Lord Jesus Christ, how it is also fulfilled in him, and that brings us joy to read and study these passages. Now, going on to the next one, maybe a little more comparison detailed here, we come to Joseph. There's a lot more comparative thinking or study we can do about Joseph. I have listed a few of them here compared to New and the Old Testament. First of all, Joseph was loved by his father. A person who was loved by his father. Who else can you think of another person whom the father loved so much? It's our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. His father loved him. So many times it has been repeated. John 17:24 clearly says that. We know that chapter very well. And the next one we say, his brothers refused him or rejected him. His own brothers refused and rejected him in Genesis chapter 37, verse 11 and 18. Well, who else can you think of who has been rejected and despised by his own brothers? The scripture says he came unto his own and his own received him not. Therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who really was refused and rejected by his own brothers and as well as his own people among whom he came. So when you think of Joseph being rejected and thrown into the pit, our thought should really go down through the centuries and see where the Lord Jesus Christ really went through that kind of rejection and despised by the men. And then we also see that Joseph was sold for silver. After throwing him into the pit, they took him out and they sold him for, I forgot how many pieces of silver it was, but some amount that he was given. And he was sold to the merchantmen. And finally, he ended up at the Pharaoh's palace. Very similarly, we see that he was sold, our Savior was sold for 30 pieces of silver, both in Matthew and in Matthew 26, verse 15, we read. He was also sold for. So when we look at these comparisons about these people, we can think of our Savior. And Joseph became a servant. Joseph became a servant and he was a good, faithful servant. Without any sin, at least demonstrated by his life and style, he was without a sin, at least in that particular incident that we very well know about. He was a servant, not only simply a servant, a perfect servant, wherever he served. He was a perfect servant of the King Pharaoh, as well as even in the prison, when he was in the prison, he was a perfect servant, obedient to the prison leaders. Things like that. So when you think like that about a servant in the Pharaoh's palace, who else was the perfect servant? We read about our Savior being obedient. We were referring to Philippians today. He became obedient unto death, and he was a perfect servant to his father. And then Joseph was also, as I reminded, he resisted temptation. Joseph was tempted as any one of us could be tempted at any point of life. But he was tempted, but he resisted it. He was victorious. Well, what does it take you to? The Lord was tempted by the enemy at least 3 times. The devil took him around and tried to tempt him. But he also resisted the devil, and he was victorious on the temptation, just like Joseph was at that point of time. He was also falsely accused. When Joseph was taken to to Pharaoh's palace, and he was falsely accused of wrongdoing, which he did not do. So who else was like that? Our own Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to us, totally, falsely accused of sin and rebel against God. But he, as we read that, in all those cases, he kept very quiet. So he was just like Joseph was falsely accused. We see that our Lord was also falsely accused. We read that in John 18:30, chapter 19, verse 7 and 12. Joseph became a prisoner. He was in the prison for no fault of his own. But Isaiah chapter 53, verse 8 and 12, the Lord Jesus Christ, spiritually speaking, he was in the prison of the people's mind. They tried to trap him, they tried to kill him, they tried to do all kinds of things. But in the spiritual sense, he was also in a prison, if you can think like that. But more than that, his God gave him glory. Joseph was lifted up from the pit, from the miry pit, almost to the death point in the well, and from there to the prison, into the dungeon. He was almost to the death point, but he was lifted up and brought up to glory. You know, whenever I read about Joseph and the glory that into which that God elevated him, it is beyond my understanding. I marvel at that situation. A man who has been very, very low, very lowest of any man can ever be, now he has been lifted up above every man other than Pharaoh himself. He was second to him, has all authority and power and glory was given to him. Well, think of another person. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who was rejected by men, crucified him. He was accused falsely, but from there the Father raised him up. We were reading about the resurrection earlier, and given him the name above every name, put him on the right hand of God, made him a high priest and God of and put every creation under him, as we read in Psalm 8. God gave him glory like Joseph was elevated. These are only very weak comparison, but yet we can see, when you read through it, but we can see our Lord Jesus Christ on the other side. Once he was lifted up, we see that God, Joseph provided bread for the world. There was a famine beyond any human being's control. Joseph was lifted up to a point that he was able to, God gave him wisdom to do what he did at the time. So there was enough food in Pharaoh's palace for anybody in the world. Even his own brothers from a far country, they came to collect food. He gave food and bread to many thousands at the time. Well, think about our Savior. He said, I am the bread of life. You and I have enjoyed the bread of life from the day that we got saved. Over the last 2,000 years, people have been enjoying this bread of life and have received life. But in Joseph's case, those people who enjoyed the bread, they died. They probably had starvation later. But our Savior, the one who provides us the bread of life, you and I have no reason to be thirsty and hungry. because we have been given so much. It is simply like it's our fault if we starve spiritually. We were powerfully reminded this morning. Our spiritual condition is your choice. If you fail, it is your choice. We cannot blame the Lord. He has given us all that is necessary for godliness, says the scriptures. There is enough bread of life for you and me to enjoy and grow in our spiritual life every single day. And our Savior is the one who is the bread of life. This really, not only at this time, whenever I read about Joseph, this brings me tears. He forgave his brothers. You remember the situation? He was almost king in Mizraim or at the palace. Here comes his brothers who did the worst any man can do to another person. Leave alone the brothers. And they came. What did Joseph do? He forgave them. If you want to see, humanly speaking, a human forgiveness of people to people, here is the perfect example. But isn't that what you see about our Lord? You and I, who are rebellious, sinful, hateful to God, run away from Him, rejected Him, lived in utter darkness, as we were reminded, many millions who are still living. But He forgives our sins. He forgives your sin of yesterday. He will forgive your sin of today or next week. All your sins have been cleansed and forgiven and eternally forgiven and put as deep as the deepest of the sea. As far as the east is from the west. Have you ever tried to think about the east and west? You can walk and walk and walk all your life to east. You will never reach west. Or the other way around. That is how far our sins have been forgiven and forgotten by our Savior. I don't know about Joseph, I know he forgave, but did he regret? Scripture doesn't say that, but humanly possible, humanly saying, he may have thought, I should not have let these guys go. At least he played some tricks with them to teach them a lesson. But our Lord, when He forgave us our sins, He forgave everything. There's a lot more about Joseph we can probably think about as we read through the scriptures. Now, there's a very quick reference about Judah. God said to Judah, you are like a lion, the strongest of animals, Genesis chapter 49. Judah was the strongest of all, like a lion. We know the Lord Jesus Christ came from the tribe of Judah. We read that in Hebrews 7:14. The Lord came from the tribe of Judah. And He is called what? As we read in that verse 7:14, He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Yes, Judah was called the Lion, but our Savior is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Well, we will look at a few more things here and then we will stop at some point. There are a few other books that as we go through the Old Testament, there are a few more books we can look at. There's a lot about Moses. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, as we know. And he spoke about our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what our Lord said in Luke as... I don't know, but we can click on that highlighted verse there and then escape after that. Well, if it's not opening, don't worry. It is that Moses wrote about and spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Lord Himself said there. In John chapter 1, 45 and also chapter 5, verse 46, we read that. Coming down to book of Exodus, we mostly spend a lot of time in Genesis so far. When we come to the book of Exodus, we read about Moses and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the verse. And that repentance and the remission of sin should be preached of in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. I think the previous verse probably is connected to that. So we'll go on to the next one. Escape out of that and go to the previous page. Here we read, God saved Moses from death when he was a little baby. We know the story. The king wanted to kill everyone in the kingdom, everybody of 2 years of age and under, and many thousands of children were killed. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was born, what did the king want to do? He wanted to kill the children that are in the nation. He thought in that process, that little baby that was born in Bethlehem will also be killed. It was a threat to his kingdom. Therefore, he started killing babies, hoping in that thousands of babies, the Lord Jesus will be also killed. But no king, no kingdom, no man can ever change the plan of God. So our Lord was saved, just like Moses was saved from killing, from death that was pronounced upon him. Now we read about Moses again. Moses left the comfort and the riches of Pharaoh's palace to obey the Lord. You know the story? He left the pleasures and all the riches, and he could have been the second to Pharaoh one day, but he left all that and he went away from the palace. In Hebrews 11, we read that passage. Christ also, the Lord Jesus Christ, he left his father's home, leaving all the glory and majesty and the love of the Father, and came to do the will of his Father and became a man. These are familiar passages we often remember. But what a comparison. Moses, who left the palace, leaving all glory and majesty and power that was offered to him, he went into the wilderness. And our Savior did the same thing. Leaving the glory of heaven, he came down to this wilderness of this earth, and we became a man on our behalf. And also we read, Moses stood most of his life. Moses was like a mediator between God and man. When the people sinned, Moses stood in their place and pleaded to God for forgiveness and redemption. So he was always standing in between God and man. Well, who else did that? You know who that is. Who else is doing it today? Even today, he is our mediator, our advocate at the right hand of God. Honestly speaking, I have to say myself, I won't be here if my Lord was not there as an advocate. I would have been taken out of this world. But he is our advocate, just like Moses stood in between the people. One mediator between God and man, we read, says Paul. Both showed the glory of God. Remember the picture where Moses came from the mountain. He came down after spending some time in the presence of God. He came down from the mountain and people looked at his Moses' face and said, wow, he's changed. His glory was changed. His face was changed. But we know John says in chapter 1 verse 14, when they looked at the Lord Jesus Christ walking around, coming to the place of baptism, when he walked around the people, what did John say? See, we beheld his glory. He manifested his glory in Cana, the wedding at Cana, in chapter 2, verse 11. So his glory was revealed just as Moses' face shone the glory of God. Our time is running very fast, so. And we will take a couple of more looks on Moses and then we will close for today. Moses built the tabernacle where God would dwell. He built a tabernacle that God is going to dwell. Exodus 25, 40, and also Hebrew 8, 5. The Lord Jesus Christ is building His church today. He's building a tabernacle, His church, which started 2,000 years ago. That building continues even today, which you and I are a part of that tabernacle. There is an outstanding study about the tabernacle itself. Some years ago, we did here at the chapel. Almost everything in the tabernacle, every utensil, every part of it has some reflection or reminder of our Lord and what He, who He is. Well, that's maybe a different study we can do some other time. Lord is building His church, a temple for God, as we read in Matthew 16, 18 and Ephesians 2, verse 20 to 22. Moses delivered Israel when they were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord Jesus delivers us from slavery of sin. Can you imagine the people of God that you probably know, or friends or families or relatives or someone who lived under slavery of sin, addiction, you name them, everything under such conditions. But the Lord walks in and delivers such people from such kind of addiction and problem even today. We hear testimonies of many people. Well, we heard one 17-year-old rebellious about this morning whom the Lord delivered him. You know, it saw a day and night difference when the Lord walks into the life of people, delivering from addictions and slave of sin. I don't know about you. There may be some who are struggling with the sin today. And if you are, there is no shortcut. Our Savior can deliver you, and He will. He has done it for thousands and millions around. Moses spoke with the authority, we read in Deuteronomy chapter 4. When Moses was speaking to the people of Israel, he was not saying, yes, maybe, or if, or even. No, he spoke with authorities, he says. When Moses opened his mouth to speak to the people, of course, those words came from heaven. When he spoke with authority. Alex sometimes reminds us, if you preach the word, preach with authority. Don't say, if I think so kind of thing. Word should be taught with authority. Who else taught with authority? Of course, our Savior. Whenever He opened His mouth throughout the four Gospels, He spoke with authority. Why? Because in Luke 4:32 we read, they were astonished, for His word was with authority. Moses was humble, as the Lord always was humble. Moses was faithful in everything He was given to him. So was our Lord. So when we look at the life of, read through the life of Moses, think about what else can I take my mind to about our Savior. I think we will stop it there. Next week we will start with Aaron, and there are many similarities of his life and ministry, and we will continue, Lord willing, next week. Shall we close in prayer? God, our Father, we thank You this morning that we can come to Thy presence once again to open Your scriptures. We are simply marveled at the beauty of Your word. The passages and people and instances and stories that we read in the Old Testament, which reminds us of our Savior. May this be an encouragement for us to continue to study the scriptures, and we may be encouraged to live for His glory. Pray for all of us who are here. Pray for the blessing upon everyone who was here. Many who are traveling, be with them and bless them. We give You thanks. Thank You for hearing Your prayers in the name of our Lord Jesus. I want to bring a quick prayer matter for you before you leave. I meant to do at the beginning. Many of you know Brother Johnson Philip, who is a servant of the Lord in Kerala, but he lived in the north many years. He has been diagnosed possibly with cancer. They said a tumor around the intestine, so they will be doing a surgery very soon. Pray for him. He has been very, very mightily used in teaching God's word in the Bible schools and Many of you know him, Molly and him grew up together in Bank Gwalior many years ago. Many of you know him. So remember Johnson C. Philip in your prayers. And of course, Sam's sister-in-law also, Susama, who is at the hospital. I want to give you a challenge before I close. I'm going to take a minute, 30 seconds here. You have everything life lined up throughout the months and years of your life. Please consider, take a few days off. Go to a mission field and serve the Lord. October 27th, I am putting together a team, medical team. If you have any medical background, even if you are not a medical background, if you are willing to go, October 27th through November 8th, 14 days, a trip to Jamthara. I'm organizing some doctors from India and some from here. Please consider to go and serve the Lord. You will never, ever, ever regret. But you will regret. You go for a cruise and come back and say, what did I just do? Wasted 7 days in the water. So please consider and go for a mission field. That is another thing. I have not talked to the elders yet. We may be thinking about another trip in December to Colombia. Maybe 7 days to 10 days. We'll discuss that with the elders soon and give you more details. Think about it. Please go and serve the Lord. Help them whatever way you can. If you are not called for full-time ministry, go for short-time mission trips. Everything was put on pause for almost 3 years now. Things are changing. We are going to reopen. First opportunity for our own young people here. We will send you. We will come into you. We will make all arrangements for you. You just go and serve and come back. Please pray about this. Thank you.